Good evening. Let's all stand together tonight. Good to see you on this Monday night. So glad that you are here, looking forward to the message and to the worship tonight. How many of you are glad to be in the house of the Lord? I like that scripture says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Father, we love you tonight. Lord Jesus, we exalt you. Holy Spirit, we just pray that you would touch hearts and lives tonight. We thank you, Lord, for this time together. We thank you, Father God, for the time we can spend worshiping and praising you and the time we can get into your word and let it touch our hearts. And we just pray that exact thing happens tonight in this service. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted hallelujah. All right. Amen. How many of you need a new anointing for 2022? Amen. I do. Praise God. Like Samson, who went out and shook himself and thinking everything was okay. The Bible says he did not realize that the power had gone away from him. This goes back to what Lynn was talking about yesterday about fading faith. So we want to be filled with a fresh endowment of power every single day. Fresh endowment of his spirit, of his presence in our lives. And Lord, that's our prayer tonight in this place. That you would breathe upon us, that you would rain upon us, that you would burn upon our hearts, Lord, in a new and a powerful and a fresh way. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. You were sent to be our comforter, our guide, the one who would stay with us after Jesus ascended back to heaven, the one who would lead us to do exploits for you, to carry on the kingdom of God and to see the church built and go forward. But we need you, Holy Spirit. We need your help. We can't do it in our own strength. It's not by might or by power, but by your Spirit. I come to know this song just last year, about a year or so ago, and it's just really been a wonderful, uplifting song to me. I listen to it continually on my earbuds, whatever they're called, and I just love this. Come, Holy Spirit, fall on me now. I need your anointing, come in your power. I love you, Holy Spirit, you're captivating my soul.
You're captivating my soul and death.
Spirit and in truth, I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, our prayer tonight. That's our desire, Lord. Draw us nearer, nearer, and nearer to you, Lord. Oh, Father God, we know that you said that as we draw nigh unto you, that you will draw nigh unto us. As we reach out to find you and to seek you, Lord, you will be found when we seek for you with all of our heart. Lord, I thank you, God, that you have promised to take pleasure in our seeking, and in our finding, in our asking, in our knocking, Lord. We just pray, Father God, that you would just help us, Lord, to go after you with all of our hearts, that we may walk so very close to you. Every day during this coming new year, Lord, let us draw nearer and nearer and nearer to you. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I don't know about you, but I've enjoyed the last two services. How about you? Amen. I'm looking forward to tonight. I just thank the Lord for these days of just setting ourselves aside setting everything else aside and saying, Lord, we just want to focus on you. We want to get all that we can get and push hard and seek hard after your will in our lives. And so we just thank the Lord. Lynn, thanks for coming and just helping us and preaching just so awesome, wonderful messages. And so I know tonight will be no different. So help me welcome Lynn Wheeler tonight.
Thank you, Pastor. God bless you. Come on, right where you're seated, let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Can we do that? Come on, I'm so glad. I feel him in this house. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, it's going to make it real hard on me to spit on everybody tonight. I came down here so I could really preach, but y'all got me, boy, way all over the church. It's good. Thank you for being here on Monday night. You know, the world calls this Old Blue Monday. I'm glad the same God that's God on Sunday is God on Monday. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. Glad God is here. Wonderful time yesterday. Thank the Lord for it. I do want to just take a minute, since this is our last night together this year, and say thank you to this church for receiving the ministry again. Love and appreciate you so much. Those of you that are connected with us on social media and the encouragement and the prayers and all of that. We appreciate it all year long, and thank you for your kindness. Pastor, thank you, and Carol, God bless you guys. Appreciate you having me here, but I mostly appreciate your friendship and years of that. I think we figured 40 years, so we were both two. Yeah, we were two. It's a lying preacher in the house now, isn't it? I know we're in trouble, yeah. And we both said the same thing at the same time, and neither one of us telling the truth. So that's our confession for the night, yeah. But on this trip, tonight will be your final opportunity to come by, product table, anything you're interested in. If you're not, would you do this for me? There is a stack of our complimentary newsletters out there. We don't have this year's out yet. Had a little issue with the printing. But if you'll just grab one of those, if you don't mind, on your way out, use that as a point of contact to pray for us. We appreciate that so much. Schedule is full. God is moving. But as I started our time together, our world needs revival, and we are committed to that. I have a couple of days at home just to get some office work done. Next week we'll be in revival in Poto, Oklahoma, over by Fort Smith, and then from there, we're leaving the state. We'll be in Missouri and Texas the next 2 weeks in January, but just all over. And if you'll pray for us, it means so much to us. And maybe that will give you a little reminder and use it as a point of contact. We really appreciate it. Thank you very, very much for that. We'll conclude our series tonight. Last night, we talked about revival stoppers. Tonight, we're going to talk about revival starters. Go ahead and look at your neighbor and just tell them you're a revival starter. Tell them that right now. Confess that with your mouth. That's right. Amen. I'm a revival starter, not a stopper. Amen. Let's just go over last night's message just real quick. We'll just give you the 4 points. We talked about things that will stop revival. You remember this? We talked about a fading faith. We talked about a compromising faith. We talked about a fake faith and a lukewarm faith. All of those things are revival stoppers. Tonight, we're going to give you 2 things that are revival starters. I want to say again, so powerful how the songs that were sung tonight go with the message that I'm preaching. And the pastor didn't, and I, we didn't even talk. It's the second time this has happened in this revival meeting. That just blesses me. And when I get to that part of the sermon, you're gonna catch it. That, man, the songs just really connect with this. Before we began, under the category of let's do whatever it takes to have revival. Amen. Whatever it takes. Not illegal or immoral. Let's do it. We want to have revival. Under the category of we do whatever it takes, something humorous, I want to read to you before we start the message tonight. An old Italian man lived alone in the country. It was springtime. He wanted to dig up his tomato garden. He'd done that every year for a very long time, but this year, it was very hard work because the man was aging and the ground was very, very hard. Usually, his only son, Vincent, would help him. But unfortunately, Vincent is currently in prison. Discouraged, the old Italian man wrote his son a letter in prison. It went like this: Dear Vincent, I'm feeling pretty bad this year. It looks like I won't be able to plant my tomato garden. I'm just getting too old to be digging up a garden plot. Plus, the ground is so hard. If only you were here, my troubles would be over. I know that you would dig up the plot for me. Love, Dad. A few days later, the elderly Italian man received this letter from his son who was in prison. Dear Dad, don't worry, but please don't dig up that garden. That's where I buried the bodies. Love, Vinny. At 4 a.m. the next morning, FBI agents and local police arrived at the man's home, dug up the entire area. However, they found no bodies. So they apologized to the elderly man and left. Later that same day, the man received another letter from his son. Dear Dad, go ahead and plant your tomatoes now. It's the best I could do under the circumstances. Love, Vinny. Love, Vinny. I just love it. You work with what you got, right, folks? Whatever it takes, that's what we want to do. Praise. We're going back to the book of Revelation tonight to find two things that are revival starters. Go with me to the second chapter. In just a few moments, we're going to go over to the third chapter. We're going to spend some time outside of the book of the Revelation. Cry for Revival, Part 3, Revival Starters. Everybody shout, here we go. Revival starter number one is repenting faith. If you're taking notes, repenting faith. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 16 says this: Repent, therefore, otherwise I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Could everybody shout the word repent? Revelation chapter 3, verse 19 says this: Those who I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. I think everybody in the house realizes that one of the key revival starters in our life when we throw the word out would be repentance. Can I take you to a popular verse now? In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 17, just the first part of that verse says it all when it says, judgment begins at the house of God. I can also add to that, revival must begin at the house of God. Ladies and gentlemen, can we walk through the process? I say to you that your family won't see revival till individuals see revival. Our church won't have revival till families have revival. Our town won't experience revival till the church experiences revival. I take you back to Sunday morning. Remember, revival starts with me. It's the process that unfolds. But now we've arrived at judgment begins at the house of God. 1 John 1:9, a popular verse many of you probably have committed to memory, says this: If we will confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We often use that when new people are coming to the Lord, but how many of you know that that's good for Christians as well? I just wonder if anybody but me has messed up since you got saved. Man, this is the holiest church I've ever preached in, huh? My Lord. Sure, we all need to come back to that, don't we, from time to time, and confess our sins, and isn't it good to know that he is still faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness? If we repent, I want to just say this about repentance, see? Just because you pray a prayer and cry some tears doesn't mean you've repented. Ouch. I know a lot of people that think they're okay just maybe because they respond to an altar call and they cry a few tears. That doesn't mean you've repented. Now, you may have, but that is not the end result. I say the first step in being a revival starter is for the church to come back to a repenting faith. And if we repent, ladies and gentlemen, God's mercy will be continuous. Very important right here in the message, because I'm connecting some dots. Even if you're going to sleep the rest of the time, I want you to catch this verse, okay? Because this verse connects repenting to revival. It's one of the greatest verses I found that makes this connection. So please catch Acts 3:19. Watch this. Scripture says, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out." Now watch this last part. "That times of refreshing may come from the Lord." Oh, I liked it better than you, I can tell. You see, we start with repentance, but do you see how it connects here? Repent, therefore, and turn to God. Why? So that times of refreshing or times of revival may come from the Lord. Let us connect the repentance and let us connect it to the times of refreshing that come from the Lord. We cannot begin a new life until we repent of the old one. This is a new year. We're starting things new. Let's put everything behind us and let's start with a repenting faith. Stories told, I love it. Preacher's wife, Easter time, went and bought a new dress. Spent $250 on a new dress. Credit card bill came in. The preacher looked at it and said, "What are you doing? We pastor a small church. You've never done this before. Why in the world are you spending that much money on a new dress?" Well, the preacher's wife said, "Oh, it's so pretty. I love the dress. When I put it on, it's pretty." Everybody in the store started oohing and aahing, telling me how great it. He said, "$250 for a dress. We can't do this. You know we can't do this. Why'd you?" He's trying to get a little repentance. He's not getting it. He's not getting, "I'm sorry." He's not getting anything. Oh, no. She said, "Oh, everybody loved it. I loved it. I just thought, you know, it's Easter time. I'll get this new dress, you know." And finally, the pastor, preacher, trying to get real spiritual or something, getting her to repent of this, said, "You know that was the devil talking to you. Why didn't you tell the devil to get behind you?" She said, "I did." Preacher said, "What'd he say?" She said, "Well, the devil said it looked good from the back too." Amen. Amen. There went my offering. Is that what you just said? All right. Serious moment from a humorous story. You can't force people to repent. You're not going to push that on them. It doesn't matter how long you take that. It doesn't matter. But I'm asking God to stir a repentant faith in the Church of Jesus Christ again and start with me. Start with me. A repentant faith. Number two. Now, I only have 2 points tonight, but don't get excited. This is the longest, okay? Some of you going, "Great, we're almost out of here." No, no, no. Secondly, okay, so we've got repentant faith. Number two, revival starter, spirit-dependent faith. Spirit-dependent faith. Friends, we cannot experience revival with our flesh. I'll say that again. We cannot experience revival with our flesh. I did not give these verses to the media booth because I'm going to run through them very quickly. You're going to know and you're going to understand why as followers of Jesus Christ. I'm going to give them to you quickly. And they all say the same thing. Revelation 2:7, Revelation 2:11, Revelation 2:29, Revelation 3:6, Revelation 3:13, Revelation 3:22, all seven verses, the same thing. You know it. As soon as I say it, it says, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church." Seven times, I just ran through them real quick, repeated over and over, but the Lord steps up to the church and says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit," come on, everybody say Spirit, "what the Spirit says to the church." Come on, friends, how many know the Spirit speaking? Revival is on. God's speaking. The Spirit of God is moving. He that hath an ear, let's hear what the Spirit is saying. Throughout the course of my life, I'm probably different than most people, very different than my wife. I drive down the road. I don't listen to worship music a lot. I listen to preaching. I like preaching. I like all kinds of preaching. So I listen to a lot of preachers in my life. I like those guys that take a microphone, they take a white hanky and they wave it, romp and stomp and run and yell and spit on everybody while they preach. I listen to some of that. I also listen to guys that just stand behind a podium and teach. I like teaching. I like the variety that comes forward. And so I listen to a little bit of everything. For years and years and years, one of my favorite teacher preachers is a man by the name of Adrian Rogers. Adrian Rogers has passed away now, but from my early days in ministry, I read his books and I listened to his preaching. He was a teacher type. Adrian Rogers made a quote when I was a young preacher. I heard him say it, and it has never escaped me. It has never gotten away from me. "Remember, I'm preaching. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church." Here's the quote that I've never forgot. It's lodged in my spirit and it convicts me beyond words, ladies and gentlemen. And the quote says this, ladies and gentlemen, "We will be accountable for not only what we hear, but for what we would have heard had we been listening." We will be accountable not only for what we hear, but for what we would have heard had we been listening. Still convicts me to this day. Because I will tell you that you and I have both experienced those moments where sometimes we hear, but we're not listening. And if you're a parent, your kids have done that. They might hear you, but they're not listening. "He that has an ear, let him hear." May I call the church to a wake-up moment right now. If ever, ladies and gentlemen, there was a day the church of Jesus Christ needs to tune our ear to heaven and away from all the other junk and chaos that is around us, it is today, ladies and gentlemen. May our ears be turned to heaven as well as our eyes be turned to heaven. Come on, it's going to start revival if we hear what the Spirit is saying and we move on it and we act on it. "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says." Never been as important as it is right now. Lord, what are you saying? What are you speaking? May I go ahead and add this? What the Spirit says to the church sometimes is different than what the preacher is saying. You need to hear for yourself. If we are listening to the Spirit and we are bringing a Spirit-dependent faith, I believe revival will come. Now let me lead you through the Spirit-dependent faith thing real quick. Three things, sub-points under this. Number one, be filled with the Spirit. Could I ask you to do this? Would you bow your head and close your eyes all over the room, please? Don't get excited. I'm not done. I just want to ask a question real quick. wonder how many people in the sanctuary have been filled with the Spirit and you speak in tongues. Would you lift your hand, please, in the place you have? Praise God. All right, you can put your hands down. How many people have never been filled with the Spirit and you've never spoken in tongues? Would you lift your hands, please? All right. God sees. God sees. All right. How many in the service tonight? Final question. Will say to me, Lynn, I have been filled with the Spirit. I have spoken in tongues, but I've not used my prayer language in over a month. Would you lift your hand, please? Okay. All right, friends, you can look back this way. I just wanted to know, according to who is here tonight, what areas I'm going to emphasize moving forward. This is not secret. I only had you bow your heads and close your eyes for privacy's sake. When I ask the question, who needs to be filled with the Spirit? They've never spoken in tongues. There were five people here tonight that never have. Two have, but they haven't used a prayer language in a long time. Spirit-dependent faith starts with being filled with the Spirit. I take you to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. It's what the Word of God says very plainly. Be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Be filled with the Spirit. Here's the great news, church. We have to understand in Pentecost, sometimes we forget this, the Holy Spirit did not just show up in Acts chapter 2 and boom, there it is. That was not the beginning of the moving of the Spirit of God. In fact, if I take you all the way back to the beginning in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 2, the Bible says the Spirit of God was present then. When Jesus or God was creating heaven and earth, speaking into nothing but creating something, the scripture said the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So present from the very beginning, it didn't just boom happen in Acts chapter 2, and we could walk you through the Old Testament, the Spirit of God at work in the Old Testament, at work in the New Testament. But then when we get to Acts chapter 2, that was the great outpouring. Be filled with the Spirit. The second part of this process is live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Galatians 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Live by the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit. You see, friends, being filled with the Spirit is more than speaking in tongues. Now, I'm trying to challenge the church tonight to a Spirit-dependent faith. And sometimes we in Pentecost, we think, oh, I got filled with the Spirit. I speak in tongues. That's it. I'm done. No, you just starting. Thank you for those amens. You see, being led by the Spirit and living by the Spirit is now our assignment from God. In fact, I think the Lord could be getting a little frustrated with the church sometimes. Because you see, it just doesn't work, ladies and gentlemen. We come into the altars, we have revival, we pray, we get filled with the Spirit, we speak in tongues. Then we leave church, go to the restaurant, and treat the waitress like dirt. That's not a Spirit-led life. That's not letting your light shine. But yet it happens over and over again. I got friend and family members that are waiters and waitresses at restaurant, and they hate Sunday because it's Christians. What a horrible testimony for us. Because their restaurants are filled with church people being rude. Come on, everybody shout, God help us. Folks, we might be filled with the Spirit and speak in tongues, but that is not the end. And can I tell you, we are calling for revival in the church. But come on, who wants to see revival outside of these four walls as well? Oh, God, send revival to our nation as well. It's not going to happen just being filled with the Spirit. Come on, let's live by the Spirit too when we leave the sanctuary. I won't be here tomorrow night. Hang in there, huh? Very important. Very important that we live it out when we walk out the door. Filled with the Spirit, but live by the Spirit. Third is being led by the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit, live by the Spirit, and led by the Spirit. I take you to Romans 8, verse 14. Listen to these words closely. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. I've already admonished you as a church the importance right now of tuning our ear to heaven, hearing what God is saying, and moving on that and acting on that. Being Spirit-led. You see, I believe the Spirit of God is still speaking to the church today. It's very important in every decision that we have to make that we take it to God. Being led by the Spirit. I'll never forget, I was so privileged, 1985 to 1989. I served 4 years as youth pastor at Crossroads Church here in Oklahoma City. In October, right before I resigned that church, I had been invited to go to Kansas City to speak at a youth retreat. The typical arrangement that I had with the pastor there, because I often had invitations to speak out, I could go, I could do the camps, the youth retreats and all that. I could do it all as long as I was back by Sunday, could be there. So I went to Kansas City. It was a Friday, Saturday youth retreat. Got on a plane, flew up there. I was to speak Friday night, twice on Saturday, fly home Saturday night, and I was to be back in church on Sunday morning. Remember, I'm preaching on being Spirit-led. I flew up there. I preached the Friday night to that youth group. I went to my motel, went to bed. I had two more services to speak, then straight to the airport after that on Saturday. I went to sleep about midnight, about 2 o'clock in the morning. The Holy Spirit nudged me, woke me up, and the Spirit of God called me to the evangelistic field. I got up, walked the floor, argued with God. Don't look at me like you never did that. I said, no, God. I had 200 students. I was a youth pastor over. Had some great parents that supported me when I was, the Freemans. I love those kids. I just knew that I was going to be there a long time. I walked the floor. I'm crying. I knew the Spirit of the Lord reiterating over and over. You're going to travel. You're going on the evangelistic field. You're going home resigning. I'm crying. I moved from that to begging God in that conversation. God, come on. I don't want to do this. And I said the words, please hear me. I'll never forget. It's coming up to 5 a.m. and I've got to get up in 2 hours. I've been up for 3. And I said to God, what about these 200 kids that I love? What about these students? And here's what God spoke back to me as clear as I'm preaching to you right now. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, Lynn, you are not their Savior. I walked across that motel room, sat down on a chair. Can I just ask you, what are you going to say to God when He says that to you? I suddenly realized my destiny was about to change. My calling was about to change. And as much as I didn't want it to, it was about to. I spoke those 2 services. Had no sleep the night before. It wasn't great. You think you're struggling tonight? You should have been in those services. Cried all the way home on the plane. I got home. I waited 2 weeks before I talked to my pastor. I was giving God a chance to change His mind. But He didn't. Walked in, told my pastor. He understood. He had been an evangelist, and he helped me get a timeline. He helped me follow something. Okay, we're going to tell the leadership then, and then we're going to tell your students then we're going to tell the church then. And so he kind of helped me plan something out there. My heart was broken. Didn't tell anybody anything for 2 more weeks. Finally, I get a call. I'm in my office. Still nobody knows but me and the pastor and pastoral staff. Pastor said, Lynn, we're going golfing today. I want you to go golfing with us. I was there 4 years, golfed with my pastor twice. One time I got in trouble. Y'all so holy, y'all never get in trouble. Huh? Second time was this. We got out on the golf course and somehow he and I got off by ourselves. That never happened. We're walking the golf course. Guess what my pastor did? He offered me more money to stay. Would y'all quit looking at me like y'all don't like more money? We all like more money. More money? He said, look, if it's about the... Let's give you a raise. You can stay. We'll do it. But you see, friend, I pray you're hearing my heart tonight. An illustration I've used all over the nation. When the Spirit of God has prompted you into direction, it's not about people and it's not about money. It's about obedience and obeying what God says. With a broken heart on that golf course that day, I had to tell Pastor, that's not what it's about. You guys have been more than fair to me. But I've heard the voice of heaven. I have to go. 3 months later, I did. Quick, painful. From 1989 to now, I've been a traveling evangelist. God has provided every step of the way. Thousands of people have been saved. And guess what? Those kids were okay. 11 of them are in ministry today. They're okay. You know why? Because when the Spirit of God directs us, He got everything else under control. He's not going to take you through something where He's not going to work out the details. Do you mind if I preach just a minute right now? I'm telling you, He's still a God that's got everything under control, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm calling the church not to just be Spirit-filled, not just to live by the Spirit, but it is our day to be led by the Spirit. Maybe you're in the house today and maybe God's dealing with you about something, maybe working even in the church and you've never done it. Now, there are proper channels. You got to come talk to leadership and all that. But maybe God's been speaking to you about something. You've never acted on it. Can I challenge you? It's a revival starter when people start being filled with the Spirit, live by the Spirit, and then be led by the Spirit. Every sermon I preached has to be led by the Spirit. Countless times I've been sitting on the front row of churches all around the nation, came prepared to preach a message, and in the middle of worship, the Spirit of God would prompt me for a different direction. It's all about being instant, in season and out of season. I believe God's calling Noble Assembly of God to be a Spirit-led church. It's going to be visible to everybody else. Start with individuals. Can I tell you, I want a Spirit-dependent faith, ladies and gentlemen. He fills me and He leads me. And now He's going to use us to be a revival starter. In this sanctuary tonight, and I'm closing, in this sanctuary tonight, is not even half of this church. Not even half. But if just those that are here tonight decide, I'm going to be a revival starter, revival's coming to this church. If we decide, just this group, doesn't have to be everybody, but it's coming. If just us decide, I will be a revival starter. Watch this. Spirit filled, live by the Spirit, and led by the Spirit. That's my prayer. And that's my prayer for this church as well. God, help us have a repentive faith and a Spirit-dependent faith. Now we've got it. Father, in Your presence tonight is fullness of joy. Oh, how We need you. We love you. We trust you tonight, God. I pray in this house tonight, men, women, and students would turn their ear to heaven, and you would begin to speak clearly to the people of God. Lord, it's our heart's desire to be led by the Spirit of God. Friends, would you stand with me, please, all over the church tonight? Heads bowed, eyes closed, if you don't mind. Father, make us revival starters. Repentant faith. Spirit-dependent faith. Led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord. 5 people here tonight said they'd never been filled with the Spirit. We just want to pray with you. If you were one of those 5, just right where you're standing, put your hands in the air right now. Just begin to praise God. I want you to do that. Would you do that? I'd like the rest of you, would you turn around and look? There are some people with their hands up. Would you go lay hands on them right where they're at? They've never been filled with the Spirit. Come on, we're going to pray for them right now. Right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, Spirit of the living God, those of you seeking, just out loud, begin to talk to God. Would you do that? Out loud, begin to talk to God. I encourage you, open your mouth, give Him your language. Thank you, church, for helping us pray. Come on, all over this church. Could I ask you if you're Spirit-filled right now? Let's pray in the Spirit right now. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh in this house right now. These men and women of God seeking your face.
Be filled with the Spirit. That's Him, that's Him.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Give Him your language. Give Him your language. Be filled with the Spirit. That's Him, that's Him. Hallelujah, when He moves on you, just speak. Hallelujah. Spirit of the living God. Fall fresh, fall fresh. Shirobakai, shirtoroboko, shikotoroboko, shiridiyakai. She That's it, the Spirit of God all over you, all over you. Hallelujah. Give Him every area of your life, including your language right now. Speak through them, speak through them. Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. As Pastor continues to sing, could I have you just close your eyes again across the sanctuary? Very prompt of the Spirit right now to ask the question, there's something in my spirit that feels like maybe there are some here tonight that are at a crossroads. You've got a very important decision before you. Decisions have to be made concerning particular areas of your life. And you, more than anything else, want to be Spirit-led. And I want to pause and pray for you specifically right now about being Spirit-led in this decision process. If I'm talking to you, just lift your hand right now. Is there anybody? God sees. Yes, thank you. Are there others? Thank you. Ma'am, come on to the front. Come on to the front. I need a couple of ladies up here with this sister. Could I have a couple of ladies? Thank you. Thank you. Just come lay your hands on her right now. We're going to pray all over this sanctuary. God's still speaking. He's still leading and guiding. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, I pray you'll give our sister wisdom like never before. Lord, and the decisions that are at the crossroads right now, God. Lord, we know that you have a perfect will. You have a perfect way, God, for her to turn. And I pray that the Spirit of God would be that voice behind her saying, this is the way, walk in it right now, Lord. And I pray that she'll hear the voice of God clearly. And Lord, that she will follow the directions of the Spirit of God. And this decision now will be in the hands of the Almighty God. And it is no longer hers. Thank you that you're leading, guiding, and directing our sister into the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Thank you that you've got everything under control. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. All over the church, right where you are, put your hands on your ears. I'm praying for you right now. Father, I pray you give us ears to hear right now in Jesus' name. Come on, friends, receive this prayer. Oh, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Lord, I pray in the midst of our revival, I pray, God, that you will help us tune out the noise of the world and all that is going on around us, and let us tune our ears to the Spirit of God. And Lord, we pray that you will speak clearly, you will speak directly, because Lord, we are your children, and we will follow, we will move in your direction. Speak, but give us ears to hear. Lord, all over this sanctuary right now, we lay our own hand on our own ears, and we ask that of you right now, that you would speak to us and give us ears to hear. May we not only hear, but may we listen. May we react. May we respond to the Spirit of God. Help us be repentive and Spirit dependent. And I pray over this church that a revival fire will fall that cannot be extinguished by the attacks of the enemy. Thank you, Lord. You're taking us to a new level in revival. And our ears are tuned to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. do one more thing, and Pastor will take the service back. Would you just lift your hands right now? And would you just ask the Lord to give you a repentant heart and ears to hear? In your own language, make it your own prayer. But Lord, this is our prayer tonight. Give us repentant hearts. Give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name. In Jesus'
name. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Brother Lynn, for a wonderfully challenging message. Tonight, we want to receive a final offering for Brother Lynn Wheeler tonight. And so if our ushers would come, we'll wait upon you for that. Thank you for those of you that have given and above your tithe and all to be able to be a blessing to them. I really thank the Lord for your faithfulness and your obedience. And so, Father, tonight we come again just to give an offering towards this time that we've been able to experience these special services. We just thank you, Lord, for Lynn and Diana and their family. I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would just continue to anoint him as he travels from church to church around the United States and even some trips that he makes overseas. We pray that you would just continue to bless him. Thank you, Lord, for calling him to the ministry and specifically to the evangelistic field back in 1989. Thank you, Lord, for his faithfulness these last many years. Thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of this church body to step up to the plate and to help us have these special times and that he can come and be with us. Bless them for their obedience, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Let's stand together tonight and continue to believe and pray for God to use you. Remember, the thing that stuck with me from the very beginning of this series was revival starts with me. So many times we're looking for it somewhere else and we're outside of ourselves. But if we just say, Lord, some famous preacher, I don't even know who it was, Brother Lemay, he drew a circle on the floor and stood in that circle and said, let the revival start right here inside this circle. If we will do that, it will spread. And so I want to see God do some amazing, wonderful things in this church. I want to see this place filled again. You know, I remember back before we built this building, when we were in that building, and this building was in the works of possibly going to happen and be built. But I remember when there were cars lining down Post Oak Road because they didn't get in our parking lot. Some of you that were here back in the late 90s and early 2000, we were setting chairs out every Sunday and cars were on Post Oak Road. And the house was full every Sunday. I praise God for that. I want to see that again. I'm not happy with what we have here. And I believe we can believe and do that and exceed that again if we'll just say, God, do it again. It's his will. We don't have to wonder whether it's his will or not. It is. But we just need to just be humble, be repentant, be listening to the Spirit, and say, God, do it again and use me in however you want to in that process. So, Father, that's our prayer tonight. Lord, we want to see revival in our own hearts and in our own families, in our own church, in our community, and ultimately in our nation and around the world. But, Lord, it starts with each one of us. And so I pray that you help us to just do whatever it takes, Lord, to push into your presence, to get alone with you, to fast and to pray as we're going into this 21 days of fasting. Lord, to just believe your word that you want to do amazing things in this place. And so, Father, we just commit ourselves to that. I thank you for these who are here tonight. I pray that you just bless them and help us all, Lord, to remember that you are on the throne, that you are coming again, and that we don't have a lot of time, and that what we must do quickly. And we want your will done in this place. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you this evening.